Father, thank you so much for bringing us all here today, Lord. We thank you for your goodness in our lives, that you are a constant presence for us in the good times and the bad times and all the things that we have going on in our own lives and in our own and in the world, Lord. We thank you that you are there. And we pray that you help us focus on your word today, Lord, as we get into the scriptures and we look at what it says about being a godly woman, Lord. We pray that you speak to us, that you encourage us, that you challenge us, and that you bless our conversation today. We praise you for all the things that you are doing, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So for the last, I don't know, year and a half, almost 2 years, we've been going through the scriptures and focusing on women of the Bible. So we've been going through a different woman every time we meet. Unfortunately, we're going to be ending that study at 2025. So we're closing out that long 2 year study. But today we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of going through an actual woman's story, we're going to be looking at some of the qualities that scripture says a biblical godly woman should encompass. And so I'm sure you guys all know this passage. We'll be looking at Proverbs 31. I think it's one of the most probably well-known and often quoted passages about biblical womanhood. I know prior to even me becoming a Christian, when I was young, I would hear people, you know, talking around, be a Proverbs 31 woman, Proverbs 31 this, 31 that. If you Google biblical woman, what is a biblical woman? Proverbs 31 comes up. If you Google, what is a biblical mother? Proverbs 31 comes up. And so it's something that's, you know, I think we've all read through a lot of times. It's very, very well known. But we're going to go through that again today to give us all kind of that reminder, that refresher of the qualities that a biblical woman encompasses. And I think sometimes when we look through it, it can seem like a checklist of really hard standards to reach. You know, it lists off a biblical woman, a godly woman does X, Y, Z, all of these things. And it can be intimidating to look at that and say, oh, that's a lot. Those are really, really high standards. But it's not meant to be something that we look at and we feel like we can't grasp or that we feel like it's an impossible standard to reach. It's the ideal of what we want to strive for, qualities that we want to try to encompass in our lives. And it gives us wisdom that we can use to live out in our everyday life. And so for all of us here as wives, mothers, community members, servants in the church, you know, it's important for us to understand what qualities we need to have, especially looking at the world and the things that are going on in the world. We need to look at how can we stand firm in being this biblical, godly woman. And so the book of Proverbs itself is an entire collection of wisdom literature. It's a whole 31 chapters, and Proverbs 31 comes at the very trail end of this wisdom literature. Most of the book is in the voice of like a father providing advice to his son, giving him advice for wisdom. However, Proverbs 31 is a little different. This chapter is the voice of a mother giving advice to her son. And she's speaking wisdom for her son in two ways. One, to learn how to live as a man. And the second, to learn what to look for in his future wife. So we see, you know, it's already a little different. We're going to be reading this from the voice of a woman who encompasses, she already has this wisdom that she is sharing with her son. That he, you know, values, he wants to hear it. And so she's this wise woman who is sharing with her son who is going to be king. And in verses 1-9, she is giving him this advice of how to be a just and how to be a moral king, how to protect himself from immorality and how to protect those he rules. So she's giving him this advice for his daily life. This is how you become a successful king. And then in verses 10-31, she gives him the advice on what qualities he should look for his future wife, for his future queen. And so that's where we are going to pick up today. We'll start in verses 10-22. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil. All the days of her life, she seeks wool and flax. and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So the section begins with the mother describing this virtuous woman, the kind of wife that she thinks her son should seek to marry. And the word virtuous is actually more commonly translated as the word valor, which is like an army, a warrior, a hero. And that means strength. She's right. Efficiency, has ability, wealth, influence. So she's saying that this virtuous woman will have these things. She's going to be strong, efficient. She's going to have influence. She's going to be capable. She has ability. And the value of marrying this type of woman is priceless. To have a woman that's a virtuous, that has these qualities, is priceless. And this woman is actually the opposite of a lot of the harmful women that are described throughout the book of Proverbs. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we see warnings against, you know, don't marry a woman who's going to lead you into sin, who's going to deceive you, who's going to, you know, make your life harder. A lot of warnings against marrying kind of the wrong type of woman. And this woman is the opposite. She is, you know, virtuous. She's strong. She's right. She has these things. And so the mother's saying, this is the type of woman that you want to marry. She also earns the trust of her husband. She creates a safe household for him to prosper in. And as a result, her husband commits himself to her, and he deeply trusts her in all things. And with this confidence from her husband, the wife is now free to accomplish excellence. It's this relationship that works together. You know, she's creating this environment for her husband that he can prosper in. And in that, he's committed to her. He trusts her. And now she has the freedom to go out and commit excellence. They work together to create this environment where they can both succeed. Every day she does good for her husband and her family. She avoids evil. So she's working hard. She's proactive. She's putting her family before herself. She knows how to seek and to find the things that are necessary resources for her family and her home. So she's resourceful. She knows how to make things happen to take care of her family. She's not proud. She's not haughty. But she's humble, she's self-sacrificial, putting her family's needs above her own. She goes to great lengths to support her family with endurance. She doesn't give up, she perseveres to support her family. She's the first one up to prepare the day for her family and for her businesses. Again, she's this hard, committed, working woman. She is the first one up. She's a shrewd businesswoman. She analyzes opportunities. She profits on deals. She prepares for the future. So she's involved in, you know, making these deals and taking care of her family in that way. She strengthens herself. She trains, betters herself. She challenges herself. So she also, you know, works on making sure that she is strong and capable as a woman. She discerns what is wise to spend money on. She makes sure that the household always has what it needs. So she's analyzing. She says, this is something that our household needs. We should spend money on it. It's beneficial for our household. This we probably don't need. We shouldn't spend money on. She's making those wise decisions for the household. She extends herself. She works hard for her family and for others who are in need. So it's not only focusing on her family. She works out and works for them as well. She's not afraid of hard times to come because she has prepared her family ahead of time. She's planned. She's prepared them. When a difficult situation comes, she's ready to go. It's not scary to her. She is ready. She clothes herself in respectable attire that demonstrates her faithfulness. So this type of woman, she breaks the stereotypes, I think, of what our culture says a successful woman looks like. And I think even many of the stereotypes of what some Christians think a successful woman looks like. Culture thinks a successful woman is one who lives for herself. She does whatever she wants to do. She seeks independence. She puts herself first. She's, you know, the boss lady. She's focused on herself, her career. She is focused on her success. However, that's not what success looks like in this passage. A successful biblical woman, she does what is best for her family. Her desire is to support them, to put them first. She's earned their trust, and she makes them feel safe. Christians, I think, often look at this ideal woman as somebody who maybe is kind of quiet. They do what they're told. They maybe don't think for themselves, and their biggest capability or benefit is, you know, staying at home. However, this passage says that's not a successful biblical woman either. This woman is a hard worker. She helps support the family. She feeds and clothes everyone. She makes business deals to supplement the income. She manages the budget. She saves, does community service. She is ready for anything. So this woman, she, you know, is focused on those around her. How can I serve my family, those in my immediate need, those in my immediate circle? How can I make them better? How can I benefit them? How can my presence, my abilities serve them and benefit them and help them grow? She's not focused on her own success. What's going to be best for me? How do I get acknowledged the best? How do I become number one? And she's also not just sitting at home doing nothing. She's an active woman who is actively involved in her household, in her community, and those around her. She takes an active role, and she uses her gifts and her talents and her abilities to help those around her succeed. And in verses 23 through 31, we see that. Let's read. It says, "Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." So all this hard work that the godly woman is doing takes the burden off her husband. Her faithfulness makes her husband better. It prepares him emotionally, financially, and even time-wise. And this allows him to be able to be a respectable and a wise leader in the community. See, the way that this woman works and supports and serves her husband makes him better. She has the ability to help him succeed or to tear him down. And this biblical woman is one who uses her giftings to help her husband succeed. She also starts her own business to help support her family, to help support the community and the economy. She's a self-starter, and she goes and she starts this to support them. She is known for her strength, and her reputation is honored by others. When she speaks, it's with wisdom and kindness. She gives advice and encouragement. She carefully watches over her household, not letting things slip through the cracks from laziness, but she's on top of things. She's watching over them. Because of her efforts, her husband and children praise her. They're impressed and blessed. This woman excels at all things. She excels. She fears the Lord in everything. She never covers up with charm or external beauty, but she fears the Lord. And she's focused on him. And because of those things, she experiences the benefits of her hard work and wisdom. This woman's greatest reward, our greatest reward, comes from putting others first. The woman in our passage isn't working hard to empower herself, to make herself better, to make herself appear something that she's not. She's working hard to empower her family. And this is the woman who is priceless, the one who makes everyone around her succeed, the one who is trusted, the one who makes her family feel safe. She doesn't work hard for her own recognition, for her own praise, for her own success, but the success of others, to build them up and positively influence them. She's a woman of integrity who is respected for her character rather than her outward appearance or status. And again, this is very countercultural, even today, to what people say a woman should be. She's not focused on her own success, not focused on becoming number one, appearing to be the best. And she's not idly sitting by and letting people take care of things for her. She is actively involved in her family, in her community, in those around them, and in their success. And I know this passage focuses a lot on a wife and her role in the marriage, because again, it's a mother who is advising her son on what to look for in a wife. But these are qualities that we all should encompass, wife or not, and inside and outside of our marriage. We all should be able to look at this woman and see her qualities, the way that she lived her life, and apply them to our day, everyday life, to our situations. You know, and those qualities are, one, she is a trustworthy woman. She's loyal, she's faithful, dependable. She encourages and she builds up her spouse. So we all should look at that and say, we want to be trustworthy as well. We want to look at that as well. She provides gain. She manages her household well. She plans meals. She shops wisely. She manages the family schedules. She makes sure the household needs are met. So she, you know, she's working hard to provide something good, but she's managing all of these things. She's active in that. She does good. She does not do harm. Again, she's working hard. We're going to see that over and over and over again. This woman works hard. She goes the distance. She's committed, and she will go as far as she needs to go to get the job done, to be committed. She's self-sacrificial. She's hardworking, dedicated, committed to excellence. You know, and the passage says that she rises before her family. So she might be the type of woman who maybe she stays up late to finish a project, whatever it might be, but she is committed. When she sees a need, when she sees something that she can take responsibility for, she commits to it. And she's willing to sacrifice and put that time in to be prepared for her family, for those around her, and to get that project done. And she uses whatever talents, abilities she has in a creative way to manage practical family needs or to manage the needs of those around her. You know, the Lord's given all of us these individual giftings, these individual callings, individual talents. And it's our job to use those for the benefit of his kingdom and the benefit of those around us. And that's what this woman does. She also strengthens herself. She exercises resilience. She's physically healthy, mentally strong, and she's able to handle life's pressures. She's able to push through when things get hard, when things are challenging. She is capable of handling what is in front of her because she is strong physically, mentally. She's ready to go. She can handle things that are in front of her, and that's not going to be a hindrance to her, to her ministry. This woman is able to perceive what is profitable, to look and say, this is something that is good and beneficial, and this is not. Let's focus on the good things. She plans ahead, and that might look like for us investing wisely, managing finances, maybe starting a business or a side project. But she plans ahead. She's prepared for the future, prepared for her family, prepared for what might happen. She's hospitable. She volunteers, she donates, she shows compassion, she helps her neighbors, her friends, her community, she gives to the poor. She has this heart of hospitality for those around her. She has quality work. We see in that passage that her work is good. It's of good quality. So she's using her skills in a wise way. Not only is she using them, but she's making sure that she does her best. It is of good quality. Everything that she does has this quality. Her husband is known as an elder. So her character uplifts her family. In this case, it supports her husband to thrive in the public and the work life. So again, she's uplifting those around her by who she is and what she is doing. She has strength and dignity clothing. She's confident, graceful, optimistic. She faces uncertainties with faith, not fear. She has faith in what's going to happen, faith in the Lord. She's done her due diligence to be prepared, and she walks in that faith of the Lord. She speaks wisdom. She encourages others with kind, thoughtful, wise words, and she mentors and she leads with grace. You know, we see again, this passage is a mother offering wisdom to her son. So we not only see the psalm listing out that a biblical woman has wisdom, but we were seeing it played out in the wisdom that her mother is sharing to her son. So she has this wisdom to offer, to mentor, to guide in, to share with others, and to encourage them. She teaches kindness. She speaks kindness. She's able to take care of her household, whatever that might be. If you are a wife, a mother, and you have a huge household, or if it's you alone with your pets or a roommate or whatever it might be, she takes care of her household and she's able to keep her home running smoothly. She stays on top of things. She does not act on idolatry. And she is praised. Her family appreciate her deeply. And she earns respect and gratitude from loved ones. Not because she's leaning on her deceitful charm or her deceitful beauty, because she doesn't do those things, but because her life is anchored in her faith, and she's prioritizing spiritual strength over her appearance. And we see that in how she lives her life and her devotion to serving those around them, to benefit them, to make them better. And I think the most important thing that this godly woman does is she fears the Lord. All of this is anchored in her faith and her relationship with the Lord. Because, you know, we look at our Lord, we look at that, what Christ said on the cross, that sacrifice that he gave for us. And that is what we live our life to be like, to sacrifice for those around them, to serve them, to guide them, to make them better. And that is what this woman listed in Proverbs 31 does. You know, I look at her and I think she is like an amazing, amazing woman. Like, she is on top of things. She makes everybody around her better. She works hard, nonstop, and just cares and loves for them. And it's all done for the Lord. And that's a beautiful, beautiful picture of, you know, what biblical womanhood is like. And especially as if we look at the context of, this is a woman preparing the future king for the queen of their land. She's going to be a leader. She's going to have influence over everybody. And that's the type of woman that the mom was advising should be queen. This type of woman who has this relationship with the Lord, who loves him, who fears him, and who wants those around her to be better. And that's the heart that we all should have in our day in and day out lives, especially as we're looking at, you know, all the things that go on in our individual families. I know we've had a lot of prayer requests come up recently of things people are going through. We've had a lot of things in the world going on recently. And so what can we do as women? How do we respond to that? We encompass these qualities. We strive to be the strong biblical woman who is focused on the Lord. Focused on God, serving him, and making those around us better for his benefit, for his kingdom. It's not our own, it's for him. We're not living to societal standards of what the perfect woman is. And we're also not looking at, you know, maybe these false standards of that we might hear in Christianity, people who think of Christian women and they don't fully look at the full picture. We are active. We are involved. We are functioning within the system that the Lord has placed up. But we have value and worth and influence. And we do all of that for the good of Him, for His kingdom, and for those that are around us. So, thoughts, questions, responses? How do you guys ladies feel about looking at this woman and trying to strive to encompass those qualities?
I could have said it better myself. I'm pretty close.
Close. My favorite part is verse 26. And 26. So she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Yeah. I would like, but I talk a lot, and the more you talk, the more some things that are not wise are likely to come out. So this one appeals to me. I need to learn this. Make sure everything that I say is spoken in love and wisdom and kindness.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I thought of Brenda as you were going through this whole list of had spiritual and I was feeling pretty good about some of the things until we got to the clean house. I usually say, oh, I'm tired. Now I'm not going anywhere, so I'm not going to worry about this. So,
see, this close on the scale.
That close.
No, I'm about 10,000 miles away, but no, but it is. It's a spark because I can see all of these traits in what I know about the women that are here. But for me, my excuse is, I'm single. I don't have, I don't entertain. I don't do that. So I make excuses for that. I always use the phrase, I'm not Martha Stewart. But I think maybe this will motivate me to, even though nobody sees except for God, and that's the most important thing. Yeah. And my doggies will really like it if there's more space for them.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, it's a very powerful message, and we've all read this before, but not in such detail, and breaking it down to apply to our lives. So, right. Good message today.
Right. Praise God. Yeah. I think it's definitely convicting to read through line by line by line. Woman does this, does this, does this, does this, and then you look at your life and you're like, maybe my heart's not in that place, or ooh, I don't do that. And it's convicting to look at your life and say, this is what everybody preaches about, be a Proverbs 31 woman, and this is what that actually entails. All of those steps and details that it, this godly woman that everybody talks about, what she encompasses, it can be convicting for sure.
It's the hope, we're all through sanctification, and in the process we're becoming more holy. Are we ever going to be perfectly holy? Nope. So this is spelled out for as a Proverbs 31 woman of holiness. In this regard, we should not put ourselves down.
Right.
In this regard is that we are to be encouraged by this, that this is what God is doing in our lives, so that we would reflect this woman of Proverbs 31. It's an encouragement to me. It's an encouragement that, it's not just duties to check off, but it's a constant reminder that God is right here to supply us what we need so that we can reflect this. We can be these things. And it's about us humbling ourselves to His guidance, to His way. And it's tough when we have the world saying, you need to be in charge and you need to do, and I'm a very self-efficient person, but because I have the Lord with me, I'm equipped to be the person that can work all day, to be able to provide for my family, to be able to guide my daughter, to be able to show her an example, to be able to point to the Lord at every turn. That's a Proverbs 31 woman. So every one of us have these attributes because of God. And that's what I got to say about that.
Right. You know, I think, you know, that was so true. It's Scripture is not meant to be convicting in a discouraging way. We're not meant to be read through Scripture and be convicted and be like, man, I suck, and then get all down about it. No, it's encouraging. It's, oh, I failed. I'm not reaching up to my potential, but that's okay. God loves me. He provides me grace. He provides me the ability to grow more, you know, to reach that mark, to try to be sanctified. And so when we read through Scripture and we see something that convicts us, and every time we read through Scripture, we should be seeing things that convict us and that challenge us, because that means that we're actively reading through it, then we're encouraged. It's exciting. Oh, I want to get better. I want to grow. I want to be closer to you in these ways. And so, yeah, when we look through this woman, she has these qualities that we might not always be reaching. And that's an encouragement to us. Oh, I want to strive to be better in these areas because I want to benefit God and his kingdom. You know, and these qualities look a little different depending on the set of your life or where your life is at, but it's encompassing them nonetheless. You know, and working within that biblical set of marriage and order and structure to serve him, to serve his kingdom, and to serve those around us. But nonetheless, it's an encouragement, even if it convicts us a little bit.
Yeah, and I think for Miss Gale to say that she doesn't practice hospitality is completely wrong, because she practices it here in the church constantly, serving us, serving our children, serving us on Mother's Day, making sure we're taking care of the fathers on Father's Day, making sure they're taking care. Gale, your hospitality is out the roof. It may not come out of your home where you live, but you show it here constantly.
Okay, no need to clean up.
Right, well, that's a wonderful point, is that these qualities don't end at our home or our immediate circle. You know, these qualities follow the woman everywhere that she goes. And so in the church context, we should be encompassing these as well. And just in the same way that a biblical woman can help her spouse succeed or fail, guess what, ladies? If we're not functioning in these things, our church can fail. Because the church needs us to be working in these things. If we're not functioning in this way in the world and the society, look at the world right now. Look at the society. It gets all messed up. Things aren't right because we have influence. Being a godly woman provides us with this influence around those, over those who are around us. And so it's our responsibility to strive to be like Christ, to strive to encompass these qualities and let him influence those, make them better, to use our giftings and our callings and our talents and our abilities for good. We don't hide them out and hold them tight inside, but we use them to better those around us.
You know, this is not a small list either. No. That we can go through two or three things or four or five. It's an extensive list. So if you've mastered one area, there's always a new area you can work on more.
Right.
Again.
Right.
Or anew.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
They never arrive.
Yes.
I love how God points out a strong woman in this. I don't see mamby-pamby, sit six rows back, you know, be quiet, do nothing. I don't see that. And I like that because I'm kind of spunky.
Right.
A little bit. Been a little bit of spunky in my life,
right.
You know. And I love that. That verse... it's very, very sweet. Verse 16 has always been very special to me. My mother never worked out of the home after the kids were born, but my mom did a lot. And I didn't always, kids would say, what does your mom do? I said, my mom's a stay-at-home mom, you know, and I'd be like, and I didn't realize what mom had done. My mom, though, I will share this. When my mom passed away 24 years ago, we had our memorial on a Sunday afternoon, and I was blown away. There was 500 to 800 people at my mother's memorial service. I sat there in absolute, we had a praise and worship service.
Right.
And it was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow. And mom just did for people. You know, neighbors would say, oh, your mom would bring a Christmas gift to my kids at Christmas. You know, it wasn't earth shattering or moving, but you know, you don't know.
Right.
And I look at that verse, it said she bought fields. My mother went out and bought property. That was a kick. She called the property that we live on, my mom, her brother was a real estate agent. She called my dad and he said, well, what did you find for investment? And she said, well, I bought it. Done. And he goes, okay, you know, and that was that was like in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
So, you know, my mom wasn't a CEO of a corporation, but she was out living these things. And it's like anything, you don't really realize it until they take their last breath, and then you take the time to look at their life.
Right.
And, you know, I'm proud of my mom because right. she aspired to this,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
And I love how God lifts it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, you know, and I think, you know, sometimes you might read this and be like, oh, so a woman has to be physically working in a job to provide income, and that's not true. You know, a woman should function in where the Lord calls her. If the Lord calls you to the workforce, then yeah, go and succeed at that. But if the Lord calls you to focus on the home, then those investments, financial investments, investing in the community, they don't stop just because you're now working within the home. You know, that still has its job and its calling, and it's wise investments to make. Like her mother who went out and invested in fields and was investing in the community. Even if you're not bringing in a physical income for your family, you still should be, you know, helping manage those finances and make those decisions and talking with your husband and figuring out how can we best support our family in this way. You know, you're still actively involved. It's not something where you just idly sit by and let the finances come and go. It's an active process, no matter where you're at, if you're in the workforce or if you're at home. You know, and again, we are all doing this within the function that the Lord set up of marriage, if you're married, and that structure, but still you have an active role. And like Jan said, we, you know, this is a strong woman. She has strong and she's active in her community. She's not just sitting and letting things happen, but she's taking a stance and she is working for the Lord and for the good of those around her. And that is so cool to see the Lord value women in that way. Because, you know, sometimes I think people will say, oh, I don't know if scripture values women or scripture says X, Y, Z about women. But when you actually get into the nitty gritty, you see, oh man, did the Lord value women. And do the women have such a special place that they can serve him, serve the community, serve their family with, you know, because of that value and that love that he has for us. So, yeah, that's a beautiful example, Jane.
I think of Rahab. I love that story. Redemption.
Right.
And she's been talked about through scripture and is in the bloodline of Jesus.
Right.
Amazing.
Right.
And women were blessed. Because we do possess that multitasking abilities.
Yep.
We can do three or four things at a time.
Right.
And so amazing. Only women can do it.
Yep. You're not driving the car, you're on the phone.
So, yeah, man, you can't expect it. You're
in your lane, and that's it. You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, too, is I think it's so beautiful how uniquely focused on women this chapter is. You know, we have verse 1-9 where she's saying, okay, if you want to be a just and moral king, you should do these things. But here are these qualities, these amazing gifts that your wife should encompass, should strive to be. And so this is, very uniquely womanless that we get to look at and say, okay, women do these things. You know, God wants a woman, wants me. He's speaking specifically to women right here in this list, which I think is really cool.
I think it's a good listen, the whole premise of this is moms, teach your sons how to respect women and what to look for.
Right.
Make a list. You know, here's a good list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make a list of what to look for.
Right.
You know, rather than just the prettiest one, you know, or some other kind of qualifications. These are the qualifications, you know.
Yeah.
Teach them.
Right. Right. Yeah, because how cool that, you know, she didn't wasn't getting to pick the next queen, but she had influence over it, not only in the way that she raised her son, but then the counsel that she gave him. She counseled him, when you become king, you do X, Y, and Z, and your wife should have these things. And so she, you know, is not picking it, but she's offering that teaching, that guidance, that wisdom, and influencing the future kingdom in these ways through the advice and wisdom that she's giving her son, which is really cool. And yeah, we have that responsibility too, if you're a mother with your sons, and to teach them to look for women like this, and if you don't have sons, with your daughters, to teach them what to encompass as well. Any other final thoughts, questions?
Well, I think we ought to, just as I'm hearing each woman speak here, a thought went through my mind of doing a woman's testimony on the gifts that God's given you and how you influence your family, or whatever. I feel an inspirational book coming on. But I feel you all are just amazing to me. And the individual, I mean, I could cite some things with Paula, but I won't embarrass her. But
oh, that's okay, embarrass me.
She's had an uphill battle in terms of trying to raise her family spiritually from the day she married. And she's not given up. Mm-hmm. She raised her children to come and know the Lord. She is constantly discipling to just people, her husband's family and relations, which she's surrounded by. She doesn't have a lot of her family here, but she never gives up praying for them. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't give up on individuals. I mean, there's somebody that she and I both know, and I have my way of mentoring. She's got a much kinder, gentler way of doing it. And hopefully this is going to lead them to Christ, because my way of just wake up, smell coffee isn't working. I just feel like the coffee we used to the moon. Marilyn, her family has had, and I don't want to embarrass you, Marilyn, but she had one illness after the other, literally, as a family. She has been so strong. She's been so faithful. To kind of take prayer. She stands her ground for what she believes the family needs and her children need and her husband needs. So I'm just all inspired by all these things that I'm hearing, the things I don't know very little about all of you, but what I do know is that God's got a powerful group here, and there's things that we can't do.
Right.
You know, maybe we should have a women's project of going to a nursing home ourselves. Just talking, when I'm doing it once a month, going and talking with somebody that can't get out, I don't know.
Right.
But I just feel this tremendous feeling of how powerful, you put all of us together, we can clean up Stockton. You know, get these bugs off the street that are messing with our kids and causing problems.
Right.
You know, Gail, I wouldn't even know that individual you were talking about if you were not the kind of person that talks to every single resident in your apartment complex about the Lord, and you came to me and said, would you help me work with this person? Otherwise, I probably wouldn't, you know? So your life takes us all.
That's what's so interesting about Morgan saying that you can look at this and you can feel conviction because you don't fit into that, you know, wife, mother category, but it comes out in all different ways, and you don't even realize it. Like Gail doesn't even realize how much hospitality she gives,
mm-hmm.
and not just to the church, like Paula said, to all of her neighbors.
Right.
She provides. She looks at something and says, "Oh, that child over there could use this, or can you use this?" Or
right.
giving rides to people constantly.
Right.
Her hospitality is just huge. But yet she didn't see it because she just put it in this little box right here.
And everything I give to you, you give away. You get, you give away. Give her a flower. Oh, I want to give this to someone. No, you're going to keep that.
But, you know, what a beautiful, beautiful picture of God's family coming together. You know, we look at this list and we might, you know, have areas that we need to grow in. But our sister to the left or right, they might be strong in those areas. And so we can help each other grow in those areas. And then also we can come together. And imagine if we had a church full of women who this was what they were striving to be, how strong and unstoppable they would be. And like y'all said, like, you would feel like you have the force with the Lord behind you to go and clean up the city, because that is how strong and powerful a godly biblical woman is. And so I encourage our ladies here to get to know your sisters, to get to know their stories if you don't already, so that you can have that type of relationship where you get to bond together, partner together in ministry. And then if the Lord has placed something upon your heart for our women's ministry, for our church to do, come talk to us. You know, we are fully behind, you know, outreach, going and serving the Lord and doing things. And so if you have an idea, like, I think our women would be great at doing this, let's talk about it, see how we can make it happen. Because that is our heart, is let's serve the community, let's serve our church, let's serve the Lord by using the giftings and the talents that he has given us. And so let those wheels turn, get to talking, and let's start some projects. So what I'm hearing now, Gail says we're going to be doing something every month. We're going to get to work.
And we have what Karen Frank is head of the Calvin Cares. So if you're wanting to do something even just know about what's going on, it ranges from helping people if they need someone to come in and clean a little bit for them, or maybe bringing meals once in a while. It ranges.
Right.
Maybe you need a ride to go to the doctor. We don't, you know. But if you, you know, can want to be included and be somebody on the list where she could call and say, can you help with this? Particularly if you happen to live in the geographic area. So that's one that's already in place.
All right. Yeah, we have a lot of ministries and church ministries opportunities, and then we have, you know, like Calvary Cares. It's been an informal ministry for years and years and years, and we've just started formalizing it again. But yeah, that's a wonderful ministry for our women. If you want to get involved, they have provided meals. I know they provided me meals after I had my boys. They've given other women meals after surgeries, after having babies. They helped plan a baby shower for somebody. They give rides. You know, their focus is on how do we care for our body and those around us. And so that's one opportunity for us to get involved if you feel led to. But yeah, talk to us if you have an idea. We can either find a place to make it fit in and say, oh yeah, that ministry is already doing that, or we can say, yeah, let's make that happen. But let's empower our women, let's empower each other to encompass this Proverbs 31 woman and to make an impact in our church, in our families, and in our community. Let's pray, and then we can keep talking after service. Father, we thank you so much for just what you're doing in our lives, for how you are speaking to us, how you are changing our lives, Lord. We thank you that we have this example in Scripture of what this strong, godly, biblical woman looks like. And we thank you that you can convict us and encourage us as we read through that list. We pray that you help show us areas where we may need to grow in, that you encourage us in areas that we are doing well in, and that you help us continue to walk with our eyes focused on you and focused with that idea of being made like you, of being completely sanctified. May our eyes stay focused on you, focused on your ministry, focused on those around us, Lord. Our gifts, our talents, our ability, our time, it's yours, Lord. It's not our own. And we just want to serve you and honor you, Lord. And we do pray for our physical and our mental and our spiritual health as well, Lord. This passage talks about how a godly woman is strong in those things. And so I pray that you strengthen us in the areas maybe where we need growth. If it's a health issue, if it's an emotional thing, whatever is going on, Lord, we pray that you help strengthen us in that so that we can be strong and that we can accomplish these things all with that focus on you, all in your love, in your strength, and in your ministry. We pray for Stockton. We pray for our community. We pray for the United States, Lord. We lift up everything that is going on in our immediate circles, in our immediate families, our immediate friends, in our church, and we just expand that out as we all have been hearing news and challenging things, Lord. We just lift that up to you. We pray that your hand is upon it, that you provide healing, blessing, comfort, and unity, Lord. May we be a light to those around us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.